session part of our meeting today, and I'm going to ask our LAFCO council, do we have anything to report out of closed session?
Mr. Chair, there is no action to report out of closed session.
Okay, thank you. And then we are going to...
Unfinished business? Public service, right?
Yeah, but now's not the time.
Neither was last time, so I'm making it now.
Well, you can't just do that.
I do. So we're going to talk about my unfinished business?
Not the chair, doesn't write that.
No.
Nathan, you signed up for that job last time. I'm here, let's speak.
So during any public meeting, there is an opportunity for the public to be heard, and we're going to have... And we're going to have an opportunity to get that. And actually, at the Board of Supervisors meeting, I did say I would look into your item. Yeah, so...
Public servants, right?
Well, like I said...
Public servants, right?
We have an agenda and order and business.
I don't give a shit what you have. My kid was stolen from me. You don't give a fuck about your agenda? My kid needs more than anything else.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come with you right now. We'll go outside, and we're going to get this ironed out. And that way, our chairman can continue the meeting. But come with me.
All right. We're going to take up where we left off. That's item number 5. And 5 is broken down to A and B. And so, David, I don't know who's going to present for us item number 5.
It's a consent calendar.
Oh, yeah, it's a consent
calendar,
yeah.
But I would note that...
I skipped the word consent calendar.
Commissioner Yep did have a clarification or correction to the minutes.
Yeah, I stated that already.
That's correct. I just want to note for the record.
Any members of the public like to pull any items off of the consent agenda? No, I don't see any. Any up here on the commission? Did you get my text? Okay, see Maxig out there in front. Might need a deputy. So we are on to that. We have nobody wants to pull any items for the agenda consent. So I'll entertain a motion to approve consent.
So moved.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Passes 4-0 with one absence. All right. And then that now we are on to item number 7.
Just for clarification, Mr. Chair, item number 6 is going to be heard after item 12?
Yes.
Okay.
Item number 7, consider adoption, municipal service review, and sphere of influence update for County Service Area 32.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Commission. CSA 32 is a surface water treatment facility and a potable water storage facility. It is located in West Clarkson Avenue, approximately 1/4 mile east of South Stanislaus. The county operates and maintains these facilities. The treatment facilities are outdated and are not capable of consistently producing potable water. As such, the county's been cited as the operator for water quality issues, and the county is proposing a water treatment system and would like to expand the sphere of influence. If we can go to the maps, please. This is the current sphere of influence. The service area is in gray, and the sphere actually encompasses some other territories to the east of the service area. Next map, please. And this is a larger area. As you can see to the north, near the top of the exhibit, is the proposed sphere of influence. It looks very much like the existing, but there's been a couple of modifications that are identified in staff's report and the municipal service review. And there's some territory, that triangular shape to the south, next to the canal, that will also be developed for the water treatment facility. This has been out for public review. Staff has received no comments on the municipal service review or the sphere of influence, and staff is recommending approval of both. And there is also an annexation application that will be considered if this sphere is approved. This concludes staff's presentation.
All right. Any commissioner questions for David? Any members of the public like to address this item? No? All right. We're coming back up here to the board. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion to accept staff's recommendation for approval.
All right. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That also passes 4-0 and one absence. Item number 8, consider approval, County Service Area 32. This is the annexation that goes along with
correct.
That?
Correct.
a proposed change of organization consisting of the annexation of approximately 49.1 acres to County Service Area 32.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. Good afternoon. CSA 32 annexation is a proposed change of reorganization consisting of 49.10 acres. The territory is located along Clarkson Avenue, west of San Mateo. Staff recommends taking approval by taking two actions, the first being the CEQA component. The second, find that the change of organization is consistent with LAFCO policies, CKH, and the territory is inhabited. Not all landowners have consented to the annexation. If no written opposition is received prior to the conclusion of the hearing, the approval will be subject to the requirements of CKH, the 30-day reconsideration period, and the requirements above. Staff recommends waiving further conducting authority proceedings. If opposition is received prior to the end, the conclusion of the hearing, it will direct staff to conduct conducting authority proceedings. This concludes staff presentation. We are available for any questions.
All right. Do we have any questions? Okay. And so do we open that hearing now? Okay. Yes. I don't see any questions. Before we open up the hearing, is there any members of the public that want to comment? You'll have an opportunity once we open up the hearing as well. I don't see any. So we will officially open up a hearing on this annexation request. And I guess that I just ask what I just asked a moment ago. Are there any members of the public that would like to address this hearing? I'm going to give everybody 30 seconds to make sure. Just to make sure, because we don't want to pass this one up, this is the annexation necessary for County Service Area 32. Any other comments or questions from the board?
I move to approve action number one.
Okay. I'll officially close the hearing, and we have a motion.
We need to do two separate motions, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I'll move to approve action number 1A.
And I will second it.
This is for the first part?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Would you like to submit a motion for the second?
I'll make the motion for action number two, which is items B and C, or D through I.
Okay.
Right.
B through G.
B through G?
Yes.
Oh,
since
okay.
No written opposition has been received.
Okay.
Item C through G.
B through G.
I'll go ahead and second it.
We have a motion and second on those items as well. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That also passes 4-0 and one absence. And now we are on item number 9. That is a workshop, a preliminary budget and work plan for fiscal year 2022-23. And David, I think you're making that presentation.
I am, and I'll miss Commissioner Magzig's observations. This is the preliminary budget. LAFCO has a three-step budget process that concludes in June. By statute, the commission needs to adopt the budget before June 15th, and so far we're on track for that. LAFCO's preliminary budget looks like we're going to we have the preliminary budget. The next month is a proposed budget based on the input from the commission and the public, and then there's a final budget that's presented in June. At this point, fee revenue is approximately $12,000 below projections. Overall, as I've informed the commission, our annexation workload is lighter than it should be. Part of that is due to the lack of a tax sharing agreement with the city of Fresno, which has kept about 12 projects on the back burner. Staff estimates that a preliminary budget for next year is approximately $563,000. The preliminary budget is also going to undergo some more development as I get more up-to-date budget numbers in. So at this point, the preliminary budget is rather directive as opposed to mandatory. I'm looking for some commission comments in terms of what the commission would like to see in terms of the work program. I'm recommending that the senior analyst position be replaced by a LAFCO Analyst 1. And as much as we've discussed before, the difficulty in finally finding a senior level staff, if I can build a staff of some good entry level people as I have today, maybe bring in a couple more, then that would be a good way to get LAFCO back on its productive feet after losing a couple of senior staff members. I'd also recommend that the commission continue use of a part-time student intern. This has been a great value for the commission and essentially is the entry-level pipeline for the staff. And of course, we have a potentially new executive officer compensation, which is yet to be determined, and that could have an effect on the budget as well. With that, I'm open to any questions. Thank you.
All right. So do we have any questions for David on the budget?
David, would you say that trends will change in terms of right now? I know we're at a $12,000 deficit, but would you expect that trend to change where we don't have that level of deficit anymore? I mean, I would have that expectation, but I'm asking you.
You mean by year's end or long term?
Yeah, let's say both. But most immediately within the next year.
Well, by the end of this fiscal year, I expect we'll be closer, but I don't think we're going to hit the mark for $85,000 in fee revenue. I think we're going to be closer than we are today. But as I said, the number of applications has dropped. There's a lot of potential projects out there, but I don't want to bank on that. I'd rather give this commission a more firm footing, especially for next year, and not be as optimistic on the fee revenue side. Okay. Something that I understand from Commissioner Magsig is concerned about the long-term health of LAFCO's budget. And as I've expressed to the commission, one of the features of LAFCO is that once the commission adopts a budget minus anticipated fee revenue, that operational budget is cut in half, and an invoice is sent to the county, and an invoice is distributed to the cities. There could be a third party who's getting an invoice, and that would be special districts. But this commission does not have special district representation, and that's another topic for discussion. But if it did, like about 30% of the LAFCOs in the state, special districts would pay their third of the operating budget. Mm-hmm. So I see that this commission could address its long-term financial health by the county and the cities agreeing for the necessity of a larger allocation. But again, that's a political decision. We've got the county with its own mouths to feed, and we've got cities who also have their own priorities. So as long as I've been here, it's always been a balancing act between how much pain does the commission want to endure in increasing the allocation to the cities versus what we can do with the budget that the commission adopts. So I say long term, it's really a matter of the commission responding to the county and the city's budget priorities, and then having that feedback come to me as direction to adjust the LAFCO budget one way or the other.
Thank you.
I would, to follow up on Commissioner Santoyo's line of questioning, I wouldn't be opposed. I think all of our society is going through that big question right now. When is the right time? Is, you know, where are we at in relationship to fees and, you know, the economic structure of LAFCO? So I think it's probably a good time. We've got a budget review going on. We've got a policy review going on. And I think it's a good time to ask the question, is now the appropriate time to raise any type of rate that we are charging the counties and the cities? So I think now's the time to ask that question. I mean, I'm seeing across the board, I see it in my own private business, and everywhere we look, we're seeing that. Mm-hmm. And so I would ask, if everybody's in agreement that we take a look at that. And Dave, not to add any more to your table, but maybe you could take a look for that. Look sure. at that for us and come back with a recommendation.
And I can give the commission several options. Again, it's all about pain, right?
Right.
I can give
right.
the commission several options in terms of it's what this commission wants to do in terms of the work plan that it assigns to staff, and what it might take in terms of a range of allocations, some scenarios that the commission could then consider in its proposed budget.
Okay.
I have a follow-up question, Chair.
Yes.
So in terms of the reserves, is LAFCO actually drawing on the reserves right now because it's in deficit every year, or what's the position of the reserves?
Well, we have until this current year, we had only $100,000 in reserve, and the commission hadn't touched that in all the time I've been here. What the commission has relied on is the fund balance that's available, essentially a carryover that's not the reserves. We have a legal reserve and an operational reserve. So those have been set aside, haven't been touched in the time that I've been here since 2013, but we've had an operational fund balance that, we have X thousand dollars that haven't been accounted for, haven't been encumbered. Let's use that to buy down next year's budget. And this year, it's we have some funds available, but in order to close the budget, then I'm recommending that this commission take about $21,000 in reserves from that operational reserve. It was established at 150, so it's and we've spent some of that. We've encumbered some for the personnel changes that we're going through and the consultant expenses there. So this would be, I guess, technically the first year that I've been here that we've been actually into the reserves. But as I'd note, the reserves are really a buffer. So the commission has the opportunity to build those reserves back in next year's budget, or could just let that amount ride. It's not necessarily significant. There will be money left over. But unlike many of the agencies that this commission oversees, we have a very thin margin. We have a rather small budget, and there's not a lot of wiggle room. We don't have a water system or an enterprise fund that we can hit. Mm-hmm. It's just really the cash on the barrel.
Is there any policy that LAFCO has to keep that reserve at a certain percentage of the overall budget?
Not a policy. It's been mostly practice.
Okay. Anything else?
I think so
today is just a workshop. There's not an action item there, but I am going to open it up to the public and see if there's any members of the public that want to make a comment on this workshop. Commissioner Magzig, you're coming back right in the nick of time. We're wrapping up a conversation on the budget. I think you had some thoughts on that.
I sure did.
All right, so let me get to the budget item.
Item number 10.
All right, so just generally looking at revenues and expenditures, so I guess the biggest change, and one of the documents I think that's in here, one of the attachments, attachment A, I think there was a correction because it shows the adopted budget fiscal year 2021. You meant that's supposed to be 21-22, correct?
That's correct.
And then also when I take a look at the adopted budget and then what's being proposed, some of the biggest changes, of course, are revenues that are going to be coming from the county, and then also the other 15 cities is increasing pretty significantly. Have we talked to the cities and the county about this proposed change, and are they on board with it?
We have not. It has been it's statutorily required that I share the proposed budget with the cities and the county. So the preliminary budget is really this commission's opportunity to provide feedback and direction. The next month's budget will be distributed. But I have been approached by several cities inquiring about what their likely allocation would be. But that's really been the only extent of communication.
Okay. And so then far, looking at what the proposed 22-23 budget is, you're at $562,847 with a majority of that coming from the expectation of application fees, and then, of course, revenues from the county and the other cities. But there's a gap of about $80,000 that will come from fund balance slash reserve. So with this budget, we have we'll carry over about $100,000 in reserves. So I guess my question is, do we have, based upon this proposed budget, and then we had savings, we're expecting to have savings from the year that we're coming off of, mm-hmm. because we employee savings, because we don't have, a full complement of staff. We didn't go to CalAFCO, other things like that. So my question is, what is the total reserve amount if we do approve this budget? Is it just $100,000, or is there additional monies and other contingency pots that I'm unaware of?
There will be a reserve of $100,000 with the preliminary budget. So approximately $60,000 is from the available fund balance, And then that's about a, there's also about a $21,000 contribution that those two figures equal the $80,000. So it's approximately 60 plus 20 available, but that still leaves $100,000 in reserve. So the commission has the discretion of using that reserve or leaving it as is.
So basically, as I look forward beyond the 22-23 year, if everything happens exactly as what's being proposed in this budget, we will go from a $100,000 reserve down to about a $19,000 reserve, because we'll have to take another chunk of the reserves, all things being equal. Is that accurate?
Well, if the commission did not increase the allocation to the county and the cities. And that was something while you had stepped out, that was something that the chair had directed me to provide in the proposed budget next month, what scenarios might be available to address that concern. It would be my direction to the commission, and I think you would agree that if we see a systemic deficit, we need to address it immediately. And the way of we can, the fees are uncertain, but the allocation is pretty certain in terms of revenue. So that's the first thing I would look at.
Okay. All right. I think I'm okay.
All right. And so, again, this was just a workshop. It's not an action item. So we are going to move on to number 11, executive officer comments.
I think we're going to 10.
Oh, you're right. I saw the word workshop again. I thought, yeah, so we're on to our second workshop of the day. Our policy manual update, this is something that we asked our executive officer to prepare for us. So, David.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, members of the commission, and captive audience. Sorry, a little LAFCO humor. It was very little. The commission has asked your executive officer to examine the policies that this LAFCO operates under, and I am providing the commission with an opportunity to review the first set of basically three sets of policy changes. I have provided a track changes version and a clean version. But the bottom line is that this is not necessarily a paradigm shift in the commission's policy direction to staff, but it is a systemic update. Policies have been updated, sections over time, and in reviewing those sections, preparing this document, it became really clear that there was a lack of consistency between them. And further, as I brought to the commission's attention, the issues that our policies begin with, are issues that were essentially between the city of Fresno and Fresno County back in the 1970s and 80s. And as I look at those issues, I think this is ancient history. So because our policy documents was really using those issues as a basis for what to do when something happens, and those issues have resolved themselves, I'm recommending in this workshop setting that those issues be removed, that the idea of pegging LAFCO's objectives to things that will change over time is a dangerous habit. If it can be updated every year or every couple of years, that's one thing. But the way these policies go, this may be the last systemic update for a long time. So your staff has gone through the existing policies and has attempted to make them clearer, to make them more up-to-date, and to address issues less particular to what's happening today and more focused on the legislature's intent for this commission's interest. LAFCO is formed to discourage urban sprawl, to provide for orderly growth. Those are high-end issues, high-end objectives that we can address without having to say, you know, point to a specific geographic problem. You know, the city of Fresno, there was a lot of CSAs being developed by LAFCO at the request of the county for development in the city's sphere of influence. And I think that's something that this commission is not really that interested in doing anymore, and I think the MOUs have cleaned a lot of that up. So without any further ado, this is a workshop, so I'm looking for direction from the commission. And so this concludes my presentation.
Right on. Thank you, David. Any questions or comments on this workshop about the manual update, the policy update?
Well, I'll just make a general statement that it's been a long time coming, because I know we've been talking about this for years, because every time we run into an issue that that is, you know, obsolete, we wonder why we had it in the policy. And so I'm just giving everybody some, a little bit of background. So we've been pushing to have an update on this policy to bring us back up to date. And I think what David has done exactly that. And so obviously we don't have time right now to be going through all the verbiage, but I would say is that, you know, we can take a look at it and come back with some kind of direction for David next round. But I have a lot of faith in David's work on this, so I think we'll be fine. But let's take it home, take a look at it, and then come back with some direction for David next month.
And I would recommend that this commission would conduct other workshops on the two other portions of the policy document before actually having a public hearing and making a decision. Again, this is really for the commission's review and direction, but I will make these, they're public record now, they're on our website, but I'll make sure that the cities and the stakeholders are advised when this is ready for hearing, so that we will have the opportunity for folks to weigh in as well. It won't come as a surprise.
Any other thoughts or comments on this workshop? Anybody from the public come today hoping to put input in this workshop? I don't see any, and so I agree with you, Commissioner Santoyo. Good initial work done, something we've needed a long time. All right, we'll conclude that workshop then and move to item number 11, the executive officer's comments.
I have nothing to say, but I'm looking forward to the Sanger hearing.
All right. Item number 12, commission reports and comments. You normally do this at the very end, but Supervisor Magsing and I are just about to leave, so now's the time if you have any.
I'll just make one note. I suspect everybody here already understands that the governor issued out an executive order regarding groundwater usage. I just want to make reference that for any developments that we are now going to be looking at, we should look very closely in terms of whether it proposes to generate additional groundwater for usage. I'm just flagging it for anything that's coming before us, that we need to be careful about that.
Makes sense. Anybody else? All right, we don't have any others today. And so now we are going to move to item number 6. And as was clarified earlier, Supervisor Magsig and I need to recuse ourselves from this item. And so it's the last item of the day. And sorry for the wait, everybody. Our time in closed session took a little longer than I thought it was going to take due to some of my colleagues up here. And so,
why are you looking at me?
In the meantime, I would like to say that I'm going to turn the meeting over to the vice chair, and Commissioner Santoyo is going to land the airplane from here. And so, thank you, Commissioner.
All right.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Well, we'll wait for the supervisors to leave the room, and then we'll go ahead and get started. All right. David, you want to go ahead and basically provide the report, staff report, on where we stand on this?
I'll have Amanda do that.
Yeah, I'll actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. This project was continued from the March 9th hearing. At that meeting, commission heard public comment and received protests from 5 landowners in the affected territory. The central point of disagreement was the protesting landowner's objection to the city development standards that would apply once the affected territory is annexed into the city of Sanger. As LAFCO Council noted at the last hearing, the commission is prohibited from directly regulating land use, and conditions requested by landowners are not enforceable by LAFCO. The commission chose to continue the project to give the city and protesting parties an opportunity to reach a resolution on the land disagreements. It is staff's understanding that those meetings took place, no progress had been made. The commission approved the current sphere of influence for the city of Sanger in 2007 to allow the city to plan and implement the North Academy Master Corridor Plan. Staff recommends the approval of a proposed reorganization to the City of Sanger, consisting of the annexation of approximately 283 acres to the City of Sanger and detached from the Fresno County Fire District, Fire Protection District, the Kings River Conservation District, and the Fresno Irrigation District for territory located along Academy Avenue, extending to the intersection of State Route 180 north of California Avenue. This completes staff's proposal, and we are here to answer any questions.
Thank you, Amanda. Does any of the commissioners have any questions right now for Amanda or David? Okay. With that, I will open up the public hearing aspect of this. So, but I think what we want to do is establish a couple of ground rules. I think one was, David, I think we were going to go, we have, a 3-minute limit. So I believe there's a little light there, I think, that will go off when you're 3 minutes. And so we would appreciate you guys, you know, ending your statement at that time. The only other thing I'd like for folks to consider is that if there is a singular message, if it is the same message, it would be best if collectively you guys can pick somebody that can speak for all of you. He can note that he's speaking for all of you, but I want to save the time to not just hear the same message over and over again. So if that's a possibility, that would be fine. With that, I would like for you to go ahead and give us your name, who you're representing, and then start your statement.
Thank you, Chair. My name's Tim Chapa. I'm the city manager for.
I guess that's it.
Time's up. Okay. It keeps resetting. Okay, you tell me. I'm going to be well within 3 minutes. All right. Tim Chapa, City of Sanger, applicant for the annexation process on behalf of the city. For the sake of Commissioner Robertson, who wasn't here at the last meeting, I'm going to give a little bit of the same introduction that I had provided at the meeting a month ago. This annexation request really is a 40-year vision, 50-year vision that the city has had in terms of its development opportunities and its growth along Academy Avenue out to the 180. 40 years ago, 180 was a two-lane roadway, and now it's the large freeway that it is now. And so it certainly makes sense that the city's vision is to grow out there and to sustain itself through economic development by encouraging development out in that area. Most specifically, the council has been working on this for the last 4 years. So 4 years ago, the council made a commitment to fund the necessary annexation studies. There's a hotel feasibility study that the city funded. We're also looking at establishing an assessment district. We're in the middle of initiating the process for establishing an enhanced infrastructure financing district. That represents about $750,000 commitment by the city for study purposes to move this vision along. Where we're at today, or in fact where we were at 30 days ago, is that we've submitted a complete application and an application that's been reviewed by your staff that's been determined to meet the finding requirements such that you can make the findings to approve our annexation request. So as a city, we've been asked to follow through with this process, and we've met every single requirement. We've complied with every single requirement. We've followed the established rules. Recognizing what happened at the last meeting was something a little unorthodox, a request to delay and meet with property owners. We did that in earnest. We met with especially one of the proponents within a week. And so we did try to sit down and work through issues. We're unable to. We contacted the other proponent and did not hear back from the other proponent. So today we are back before you, as you have requested. Try, if you could, for 30 days to see if you can work something out, and we were unable to do so. We don't want to turn this hearing into getting into the weeds on those issues. If you want to do that, we're prepared to do that as well. But we just want to leave you with the message that, again, this is a 40-year vision for the city. We know what the rules were to process an annexation, and we complied with all those rules. Your staff has told you that you can meet those findings. So what we're requesting of you today is that you make a decision today and that you approve the city's request to approve its annexation request today. Thank you very much.
Before you leave, let me see, is there anybody have any questions for the speaker? Any questions? Okay. Thank you.
I'll be happy to come back up if you have any questions.
I might ask some questions a little bit later.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Can we have a next person?
Good afternoon, Vice Chairman, members of LAFCO. I'm Dirk Pushel, and my business address is 923 Van Ness here in Fresno. And I'm here on behalf of Chris Smith, who owns the northwest corner of Butler and Academy. Mr. Chapa has, I think, accurately described a conversation that we had specifically about a range of infrastructure issues that were identified in a March 18th letter to Dave Berletic. And I want to be very clear, there seems to be some confusion as to whether or not Mr. Berletic got the letter, and I take him at his word that he did not. We've left a letter, a copy of the letter for your records. The singular issue that relates to my client's property has to do with the provision of potable water. It's in the public interest that he connect to potable water. There's a condition of his site plan review that water be available for a fire hydrant, which he's prepared to construct. We're prepared to address the right-of-way issues for a bike lane and other infrastructure issues that the city finds important. We don't have any objections to that. What's important to us is to get a commitment that there'll be water available. There's a large main water line in Academy. There's already been service to the north of us, and water is important only that it relates particularly to the ability to develop the site at less cost and at greater public benefit. The feed store that we're proposing is a by right use, have a couple bathrooms. Again, the main purpose is fire protection and potable water. We don't think that's unreasonable in as much as the sphere of influence in your annexation process all talked about the availability of water as one of the major components of being able to provide those urban services. We've asked for a commitment from the city to provide priority water to this area. We haven't got it. We understand, but we need to make for the public record, our concern that if we're annexing into the city of Sanger, that these services become available to us so that he can proceed with his development plans. There's a lot of people that are annexing that have no plans for immediate development. He is in site plan review along with his neighbor. He's intending to proceed immediately to obtaining a building permit. So the water service is of great, great concern to him. We look forward to working with the city of Sanger to get that water. But it's very important that LAFCO understand that no commitment's been made to us, much to our chagrin, about water, and we think that that's not an unreasonable request. So if you have any questions of me, I'd be happy to answer them.
I have a question. Sure. What happened to the truck repair and maintenance facility? Is that still on the board?
I'm sorry?
The truck?
Yes, that's owned by another party, and they're proceeding with their site plan review and building permits on their own.
So all you're looking for the Smiths is a water supply, which would be part of an annexation anyway, because you can't annex land unless there are resources. The city can't
that's
annex
our
land unless they have resources to support that annexation.
That's our point, Mr. Robertson. That's our point exactly. In other words, if we're going to annex, there ought to be some benefits to us to annexing. And we think there's a public benefit in getting public service of water.
Let me ask Ken, because you didn't have the benefit of being here at the last hearing, and so I want the Ken. Correct me if I'm wrong, which I often am wrong.
That never happened before.
But I was under the understanding that Our actions as LAFCO are somewhat limited here, and so we cannot require the city to make a commitment that would fulfill the needs that are being requested.
Well, at the last hearing on this issue, there were specific requests with respect to land uses.
Right.
And LAFCO does not have that conditioning authority whatsoever.
Right.
LAFCO does have a fairly broad array of conditioning authority in other areas. And one of the areas I was just looking up is under the terms and conditions section, which is Government Code Section 56886, which just kind of allows, kind of provides the list of conditions that LAFCO may impose. One of them is on sub J, the fixing and establishment of priorities of use or right of use of water or capacity rights in any public improvements or facilities or any other property, real or personal. So the only thing, though, is there's a pretty significant caveat in the code about that. It says, however, none of the facilities or any other, however, none of the terms and conditions ordered pursuant to the subdivision shall modify priorities of use or rights of use to water or capacity rights in any public improvements or facilities that have been fixed or established by, like, a court order or by the state. I don't think that is the case here. When I said state, we're talking about the State Water Resources Control Board. Right. So LAFCO does have some degree of control with respect to conditioning its approval upon the priority and use of water. But beyond that, it's going to be pretty limited with respect to its conditioning authority that would satisfy Mr. Pushel's client.
Okay.
I think, Vice Chairman, if I may, I think that if LAFCO was to suggest that it would be important that there be a priority, and that I believe Sanger, in good faith, is going to try to get us water as quickly as they can, I think we would have as much assurance as we could expect. Because it was our expectation, and I believe it's LAFCO's expectation, the community's expectation, that if you're annexing and you've already done the sphere of influence change in your EIR and your MSR, that water's going to be available. And that's what we need. I don't think that's an unreasonable expectation. But if LAFCO could, in their powers, and they may be limited, say, we think that this particular property, it's in the public interest that it be served by public water as soon as possible, we'll work with the city to do so. And we want to make sure you understand as well, with all due respect, we're willing to pay for that connection. We understand there's a cost to that. We're not expecting the city of Sanger to do that without cost, but it's right there in the street. And so it's imperative that we be able to take advantage of that resource.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
In the last meeting, I like to keep things as basic as possible. So I asked the city of Sanger, you know, are you for or against the annexation? And they said they were for it, obviously. Okay, and then why are you here? Are you for or against the annexation?
I think if we can get water, I think our opinion changes dramatically. I think we were concerned 30 days ago about a range of conditions and concerns. But I think water is our major concern. If water can be provided as a priority to us, I think we'll be supportive of the annexation.
So if you get the yes, you want the annexation, right?
Yeah, well, okay. We would accept
the
annexation.
And that's one of the reasons why the last meeting I asked that we have either 60 or 90 days, so you would have time to come to that conclusion, but you're not. So we're here. And so one of the...
Well, I think what didn't happen, if I may, Commissioner, is we reached out, we had a conversation, we had another conversation today. We drug David into that conversation to try to solve from both perspectives, well, what do we both understand each party is supposed to give each other? Again, our position is the annexation is going to provide water. If the annexation can provide water to us, we don't oppose it. Okay, well, so we don't want to sit out there for we don't want to sit out there forever and not get water.
Yeah, so I think it's probably appropriate to ask the city of Sanger to come back up and give us their perspective.
Go ahead. If you're for it, but we decide not to do the annexation, that in law school you learn that any decision you make creates either a sword or a shield to somebody.
Understood.
So if we vote against the annexation, I'm giving you the sword to go after Sanger, say you either do it or you're not going to get it. Or if I decide in their favor, I give them the sword and they say, no, we're going to do this in a legal manner, and we'll give you the water. But but it sounds like you're on the same side of the sword, right? You both want the water. You both, and it's all you need is the assurances that they're going to provide you the water. It's not like you're saying, I don't want this because they're going to provide me too much water. It's basically, I need the water. We want an assurance that we're going to have it. I think they're willing to give that to you. And so if we agree to the annexation for that respect, everybody wins, and then the only issue that we have to worry about is saying yes or no, and then the only thing you have to worry about is, are we going to get it in a reasonable time and a manner? I think they've said in the last meeting that they would be able to do that. So I guess that's where I'm kind of confused is, you all want the water, and you just want a reasonable time and place for the water. Is that
correct?
Okay.
My interpretation is that they're in favor of the annexation so as long as they can work out the water-related issue. And so we've been given the perspective from this gentleman, and that's why I would like to get the city of Sanger back up to have them give us their take on that to confirm that that's not an issue, or if it is, why. So.
And just as summary, there were a lot of other issues that we had 30 days ago about right-of-way and those kind of things. I think those have been resolved. We've had a good conversation. I think we're fine. I think the singular issue has to do with water.
Okay.
If we can get past that, I think we'll come along.
Do you have another question?
No, I'd like to hear what Sanger has to say.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
Thank you.
I'm trying to pull him up. So, Mr. Chapa, can you please make it to the stand and give us your response?
So I'd be happy to hear the question, please.
Well,
both in for the annexation.
Well, we
and the issue is reasonable time, place, and manner for water. So if we grant the annexation, right, is the basic premise is you are in favor of helping them out by providing the water? And you said
basic premise is they go from an extraterritorial business outside of the city limits in the county to now inside the city limits. And any application that comes in, we look at those and evaluate those on its merits and work with those. So in general, yes. Specifically, when we met with the proponent the Tuesday after the commission's meeting, we didn't hear any response from the parties until 2 minutes before today's hearing. So there was a letter that supposedly came to us that we've never seen, and now we understand water is the main issue. To the heart of it, this property being annexed in comes into the city, and with their completed application and request to us and our full understanding of what their use is, then we'll go ahead and look to provide water as soon as we can. One of the issues that came up in our conversation out in the hallway is we said, we think we're pretty good by June 2023, and we were told unacceptable. We need February 2023. And this is just, again, barely being provided an opportunity to evaluate it. We will, in earnest, evaluate their request when they submit something completely to us, just as we do with any other business that's within the city limits. That's our commitment.
Okay, thank you. So what I'm getting out of this, Gary, is that the city is saying that they're going to basically work with the owner in the same fashion they would with anybody else in an annexation, and the details of how they work that out, that's between them, you know. And so the answer is that the landowner will get water, but it will be through the process that Sanger has to get there. So I think that's the answer.
And
for
I
us.
Think LAFCO as a principal, Cortez, Knox, Hertzberg, which is resources have to support that annexation. Yes. That's what we're here to decide. Yes. I don't think we're here to decide the micro issues.
Correct.
Commissioner Yep was saying we're not getting into the weeds on this. We are deciding that issue, and water is a huge resource, if not the main resource for this annexation.
So I'm satisfied that the question has been answered. Yes, water will be made available, but it has to go through the Sanger process like any other place.
Right. The question, though, is presented is, we're here to approve the annexation.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and if part of that process is we're going to provide it June of 2023, no, you're not. You're going to provide it February of 2023. That's not our job.
That's detailed.
Those are the weeds. That's not us.
Our job is
are we
going
to
approve this annexation, which is before us,
that's correct.
And that's what our job is to do, correct?
That's correct. Okay, so do we have anybody else that would like to come up and speak on behalf of this?
Good afternoon, Vice Chair and members of the board. Mike Montalongo, Sanger City Council, District 4. Take you back in history. In 2004, I was actually here as the mayor pro tem. So I was on the council previously as a mayor pro tem and as a mayor, and actually know a lot about this, what we're doing today, in annexation. It was back then where we had the dream, even 30 years before that, to come before you and say, look, Sanger needs to grow. It's our time. And today it is our time. Back then, we asked for 1,800 acres going north past our city limits and a quarter mile past 180 to be in our sphere. It was granted for us in 2004. Big victory for the city of Sanger. Here we are today. I've been gone from the city council for quite a long time, but I came back because of this particular issue, is to see this project through and to support this project through. It is our time. Like any of you that have in your own cities, when you see the growth that needs to take place, you look at your potential and say, this is our time. We need what we need to not just grow, but economically grow. Not just economic growth, but grow with the service you provide. Water is an important thing. During my time as a council and as a mayor, that water line went out there. During that time as a council member, we were able to fund 180 through COG and all the East Side cities and support unanimously. All those things we have done. Now our staff has come before you with a beautiful packet of our application to say, here we are. And I'm asking you to support us in your yes vote. We will do what it takes to help everybody that comes into our city, just like our city manager said. But it's through the process. Mm-hmm. I always tell our city manager, I'm a black and white person like many other, hopefully, politicians. We are black and white. There is a process. There is a way of doing things. And once we're done and things are completed in the way we know it's supposed to be completed by the policies, yes, we become friends, we become partners, and you become part of the city. So today I'm asking you for your support in our annexation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, though, before Michael leaves the stand? If not, then we're good. Is there anybody else that would like to speak on this issue?
Good afternoon, Mr. Vice Chairman and members of the Commission. My name is Mark Johnson. 40 years ago this month, I was elected to the City Council in Sanger. And this is something we've been working on for a long time. I've served as City Councilman, Mayor, and City Attorney, currently serving as Hearing Officer of the City of Sanger. And I'm Chairman or President of the Sanger Delray Cemetery District. Before my term on the Sanger Cemetery District, I serve as an attorney for the Sanger Cemetery District. We've worked a long time, gone through a lot of hurdles to get to this point. And my address, I didn't mention, is 12232 East Kings Canyon. I'm on the north side of the current sphere of influence, one quarter mile north of Kings Canyon. So this current annexation does not involve my property. But you know, Sanger has been working on this for a long time diligently. They've worked on providing the infrastructure, the water lines there. Academy Avenue was not in the original Measure C plan for expansion of the expressway, but Sanger had that added at the inception of Measure C. And it is built at expressway standards from north of Shaw to south of Manning Avenue. We offered Transportation Commission, why don't save hundreds of million dollars by designating Jensen Avenue, which is already built to expressway standards, to be 180, and you would just have to build from Sanger eastward. And they said, we'll consider it and get back to you. And they said, thanks, but no thanks. The purpose of 180 is to be a launching pad for 168 in Clovis, and Clovis gets what Clovis wants. So some of our proposals were not well received, but I think that we were planning this all along to do it in an economical fashion. And we said, well, by developing 180 out there, the expressway, which has been done, is going to force Sanger to move in that direction. We pulled back of our sewer influence at that time on the west side to allow for expansion or sphere of influence on the north side. So this has been going on for decades. And today the question is simply to allow Sanger to make this annexation they've been working on for decades to go through. And I encourage you to vote in favor of that.
Thank you. Any other speakers would like to say a word or two?
I just wanted, my name is Frank Gonzalez. I live in the city of Sanger, and I'm the former mayor of Sanger. And upon being elected as mayor, I sat down with the city manager and asked him, what projects do we have that need to get moved forward? The annexation was one of them. So we said, okay, let's stop talking about it and make it happen. So we put a lot of money into this project and going to trade shows to try to attract businesses to the city of Sanger. When they looked at the city of Sanger itself, they weren't interested. I just telling you guys, it's just to let you know how important this annexation is, and we'd really like your support. Take, for instance, a hotel. They looked at in the city of Sanger, and they're like, no, thank you. So then we showed them our proposal for the annexation. That's when their ears perked up and their eyes got big, and they're like, we're in. So as city manager said, just with that hotel feasibility study and the plans that they saw, what we were trying to do, they were all in. And, I just want to, bring that to you guys and just let you know how important it is for the growth of the city of Sanger, not only economically but physically grow the city of Sanger because, we're kind of bursting at the seams and hopefully the future council will be before you guys again asking for some more land. But as for right now, I really appreciate your support, and yes vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers here? Please give us your name, your address, please.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Councilwoman Hurtado, District 1 representative, and I'm also here to support my colleagues here. This has been a project, as mentioned. I'll try to keep it brief. It's been a lot of commitment and time spent on this project, and we're asking for your yes vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers?
So we have a quorum of the Sanger City Council here?
I don't know.
A Brown Act violation if they're
sitting
next to each other.
Well, let's let them speak. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Karen Pearson. I am the Sanger Chamber President and CEO. I'm not a former mayor. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I just wanted to speak on behalf of the wonderful opportunity that Fresno County will be presented upon the approval of the annexation of the Academy to the 180. On September 2019, Fresno County Economic Development Corporation conducted a Fresno County opportunity analysis that included Sanger. And in their findings of the 180 Highway Commercial Site Corridor was highlighted and pinpointed as the opportunity site. It stated that the annexation of Landy and Academy Avenue is well along and expected to stimulate an investment. It said the annexation will not only stimulate the economy and tourism in Sanger, but because we are the nation's Christmas tree city, and we have brought so much tourism to Fresno County from all over the country, and they come to visit the nation's Christmas tree, but that will also be able to capture the audience into Sanger. And Sanger is also, as we know, part of Fresno County's Blossom Trail, and that brings tourism from all over the world. We have tourism that comes from Japan, from China, from England. We have people that come from everywhere to come visit us. But Sanger is the only city out of all the five cities on the Blossom Trail that holds 3 weeks' worth of events and promotes the Blossom Trail tours. So Fresno County Visitors Bureau also lists Sanger assets on their tourism pamphlets. And the approval of the annexation will allow Sanger the possibility of hotels, restaurants, among other major businesses. So the annexation is not just an opportunity for economic growth for Sanger, but also for Fresno County. So upon the approval of this is not just for Sanger. This is something that will help Fresno County as a whole and all the rural communities that surround us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other speakers coming up?
Good afternoon.
Are you an ex-mayor?
And yes, you do have a quorum of the Sanger City Council. Yes, I am Daniel Martinez. I am currently the mayor pro tem of the city of Sanger.
Close enough.
I also represent District 3. I was first elected to the Sanger City Council in 2016, And since then, this council has made it a priority to pursue the annexation to Highway 180. Throughout the entire process, we've always been transparent and complied with all the requirements deemed necessary by LAFCO. We've heavily invested time, resources, and city funds to this annexation project. Environmental studies, hotel studies, and as our city manager mentioned, an innovative enhanced infrastructure financing district. That's all to get this project going, give it traction, give it some good legs, and make it viable. Because annexing to Highway 180 has always been the goal. It's logical, and it will increase the economic vitality of our city. And as Mayor Yep can attest, you know, Kerman's proximity to the Highway 180 has certainly benefited his community, and Mayor Robertson as well. Your proximity to Highway 99 has also made Selma and Kerman have both been, you know, really economically viable, a very vibrant and a prospering community. And for the city of Sanger, we're just looking for the same opportunity. We hope that you pass this annexation today without any additional stipulations or restrictions. Any other type of delay, I believe, would be unreasonable. And I ask you to support this project and let us get to work. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other speaker? All right, looks like we have completed the public session of this hearing. I'm going to turn it back to the commissioners for any additional questions in regard to this subject. Is there any other questions that you guys may have?
I think the question is basically simple. Once we ferreted it down to the issue is we're here to whether approve or disprove the annexation for the city of Sanger.
That's it.
Right. Well, yeah. So
no stipulations beyond that. I mean, we're LAFCO, right?
I'll make the motion.
Provisions of CKH. I'll second that.
Okay. So we're making a motion to go ahead and approve the annexation. There's two actions that are necessary.
I'll make a motion for the first action.
The first action.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and, for the record, reflect what the first action is.
Item A, acting as a responsible agency pursuant to California or CEQA Act guidelines, finding that the prior approval of the proposed annexation, the environmental effects of the proposed as shown in CEQA documents prepared, adopted, and submitted by the lead agency were reviewed and considered and determined these documents to be adequate pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 15096.
Thank you. And there's a motion and there's a second. And do we need to take a roll call or can we just?
Voice vote is fine.
A voice vote. Okay. So all those in favor say
aye.
Any? There's nobody else to say opposed. So so the first action passes. So now there's a second action that's required to move this forward.
I'd make a motion for items, action item two, which is B, C, and D.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct, Amanda?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll leave it as presented in the thing without having to read each one of these.
You're fine. Fine. Okay. And so
I'll second it.
You'll second it? Okay. So we have a motion. We have a second. And so all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There's nobody else. So we pass that also. So congratulations for the city center. What's next on the...
Item 14 is adjournment.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Second.
All right. That was easy. Yeah. Thank you. All right.
We did have more speakers in case that you
needed them. You didn't need them, Michael.
You're in our fire department here.